Tom Halverstedt is a scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca. Tom, another month when I couldn't wait to call you as soon as we flipped that calendar. Boy, we got a lot to talk about. Mayweather, the first thing that comes to my mind is I can't get over how cold it was last weekend and the frost damage.
May brought us a lot of everything. The first half of the month, all the talk was dry weather. We had corn in dry soil, some of that later April planting, even into the first week of May, laid in some dry soil. We only had two little rains, the biggest a quarter inch in the first half of the month. We were quite dry. Then the last half of the month, we had about 10 to 12 days with rainfall, and we ended up with a pretty decent rain. Some areas even got inundated with a 3-4 inch type rain. Now, we came out here, right here at the Research and Outreach Center, in very good shape. 2 2/3 inches for the month. That's below normal, and it came just in time. We were really worried about some of that corn that laid in the ground, but I've seen it coming up. I think we're going to come out of it just fine. Now there's forecast for some hot weather, and we need a little soil moisture for the crop to go on because it's going to start using more now. And I think we are, at this point in time, in pretty good shape with most of our crops.
Now, I've always heard that if corn doesn't come nice and even, one plant comes later, it's basically a weed. But looking at some of those fields, it was a stretch, or maybe it was an area. So I'm thinking, well, that corn's still out of the ground in great shape by the first of June. So that's going to contribute some yield too, isn't it?
I believe so. And I know there's been studies on a plant next to another. And to create those conditions, they would plant that seed later. We're in a little bit different situation where it was all planted. And I've dug up some of those seeds. I had corn we planted in a planting date trial, and we planted on April 21st, our first date. I thought I kind of targeted that towards a time when we could have planted earlier, but it was cold, and a lot of people were kind of waiting, thinking, you know, I don't want to get real excited about planting corn when the soil temperatures are in the low 40s. By the 21st of April, it was still quite cool, but I thought, you know, most people are going to start now. So I started, and some of those seeds laid there until just last week started coming up, and they laid in dry soil. And I don't know that it was the planter, because I've been doing this 40 years, Jerry, and I don't think all of a sudden I forgot how to plant corn. But there were some seeds up, and I thought, what's going on with these ones that didn't come up? And I suspected that maybe they were a little shallow. I dug a few up, and the first one I dug up was about an inch deep, and I thought, yep, that's the problem. But then I dug up two more that were just coming, and they were perfect, right where I wanted to plant them at 2 inches. I think it's just that little areas of soil where that some had enough soil moisture, some didn't, and some came up. Now, like you say, I think there's going to be areas about a few feet where the corn came up a little bit later. I don't think it's going to be just a weed. I've flagged some of those plants. I'm going to follow each individual plant, count the leaf stages, and I'm going to take corn yields. We can hand pick it from each plant and quantify what happened to those latecomers. It'd be nice to have them all come up perfect on the same day like the first ones did, but that's not what Mother Nature gave us this year. We'll see what it looks like. And then my next date, I planted May 10th. I targeted that towards when most people are probably wrapping up corn and still expecting good yields. That's my second date. And my third date I just planted last week, I'd say that getting toward the tail end of when you plant corn and even expect to get a crop. So that's my planting date trial, and we'll see how it goes. We'll talk about it this fall, Jerry.
Now, I also noticed that a lot more with the soybeans, where there'd be 6-foot gaps or 3-foot gaps where it came and then it didn't, and the emergence was a couple weeks behind. I'm not so worried about that.
I'm a little less concerned about that. I see that lots of times. And a couple things about soybeans. Soybeans are very good at branching out and compensating if we do lose one or two. And the other thing about soybeans, my motto is, a week in the spring is a day in the fall. If those seeds laid there in dry soil and came up a week later than the ones that came up right away, they'll only be one day different in the fall. And soybeans have a tremendous ability to branch and cover and take care of themselves. So I'm much less concerned about it in soybeans than I am in corn.
Well, the May weather, it was really dry, and then it got quite a bit wetter. We saw huge swings in temperatures, too.
Yeah, we had a 60-degree swing in temperature, a high of 89 early in the month, a low of 28 about 10 days later. So that's the kind of conditions your corn crop has to deal with. And we did have some corn up and out of the ground early in the month, so it did experience those highs and lows. Now, that 28-degree night, I didn't see a lot of frost. A lot of it was very small, and our dark soils here. Now, temperature is taken 5 feet above the ground. Down at ground level, it's often a little bit warmer than what the air temperature that you see recorded is. So a lot of times, but then you'll see areas where there's high residue, low spots in the field where it actually gets a little cooler than that. So, but I don't expect any problems with our frost. Corn, the growing point stays under the ground at least till the 4 or 5 leaf stage. So nipping those leaves often doesn't hurt a thing.
Well, my corn got dinged back then when I was out spraying the first time early. I didn't get it on before the corn was up. I was spraying my group 15, and I saw a lot of brown leaves. Just the top of the leaves had gotten burned. Well, we got dinged again this last weekend.
Yep, I think they'll grow out of that just fine. If you add up the whole leaf area of the plant and cut off those little areas, it doesn't amount to a high percentage of the leaf area. We'll still get very good corn yields from those plants.
Now, I saw some that were burned really bad south of Waseca Monday afternoon, going out to the farm to have a look-see. It was a low area, and then it went down, the road went down to a dip, and then the ditch was even lower. And 6-8 rows into that cornfield, you could see the corn was completely brown.
Yep, I saw the same thing right on our property here, right next to a drainage ditch. It's like that cold air kind of sinks down there, and I don't know, the high grass in the ditch must block it from going anywhere else, and it kind of pools up next to the corn, and a few rows next to the drainage ditch have brown. Those plants are brown, but if you look inside there's plenty of life to them.
And so that growing point will just be able to push that new leaf through that necrotic tissue, and maybe in a couple weeks we won't even remember what happened.
Yep, and it'll you won't even notice it. That's right. It doesn't take long, especially when we have sunshine and warm weather like they're forecasting. The only time I've seen it be a real problem is when we've had a frost and then it stays cold and cloudy for a week or two. Then they have trouble and some give up the ghost. But that's usually not the norm. When we have frost this time of year, usually it's because it's clear and we get a cool night, and then it stays clear and the sun comes out and it warms up to about 80 degrees in a day or two, and that corn recovers very quickly.
Now, those pictures of my white corn that I sent you, Tom, over the weekend, planted April 23rd, 24th, right in there. And I took those pictures before I was spraying it with the Group 27 or the HPPPs.
Yeah, that family of herbicide, the Group 27 HPPD inhibitors, Callisto, Lotus, Parmesan,
Stinger,
Impact. Those Stinger's a growth regulator.
Oh,
Stinger's
okay.
In a different family. Stinger's in with dicamba and 2,4-D. But it's those the HPPD inhibitors. They inhibit photosynthesis, and they when they're active on weeds, you'll see it. The weeds turn white. I see a lot of Callisto on grass weeds, and they look like you bleached them. But we also see corn do that all by itself without the introduction of any herbicides. And it usually means when I see it, and it's the most easy to spot, is, and we've all seen buggy whipped corn for some reason or another. Something happens, corn kind of wraps up. Frost can do that. It can kind of tie up that top point, and then those leaves underneath seem to have trouble getting out. But then when they do finally bust out, they're white or very pale yellow. It's usually when you see that, it's a sign that things are good and the plant is recovering, because those leaves are now exposed and it's like they haven't had time to get their chlorophyll yet. And if you wait a day or two, flag those plants that are white today, come back in a day or two, there'll be other ones that show it. They're just a little bit behind. So usually it means that something happened, and I'm guessing in your corn, I haven't seen the buggy whipping this year, I'm guessing it probably was those wild swings in temperature going from 89 to 28 in a short time. It kind of puts that plant into a holding mode and just stops for a while. And then when it resumes normal growth, it needs to kind of catch up. And you'll see those white leaves come out.
Tom Halverstead, scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca.